Bienvenido, corazón.
Thank you so much, Maria Cristina. It's so wonderful to be here, everybody. I'm adjusting. I'm out of town, and I decided to go out of town, and then I'm by the beach, but on my phone, unfortunately. So hopefully you can see me okay, because my view I'm not liking so much, but we'll work with it. So glad you could all make it this morning. I might rise up a little bit. Don't want you looking up my nose. I mean, it's cool up there, but I don't want you looking at my nose. Good morning. When I was invited to teach this class a few months ago, I took some time just to think about what we would talk about today. And for me, I just had to wait for it to come. And so over the last couple of weeks, I've been asking myself, can love be a gateway to freedom? Can love be our gateway to freedom? And of course, I'm inspired by Martin Luther King and Maya Angelou and Jesus and Buddha and Krishna and all the lovers, all the many lovers who have impacted my life. I've been I've been working with the Four Agreements, which of course is another way to find ourselves in and on the path of love. So I thought we'd begin, Kimiko, if you don't mind, Yumiko, if you don't mind, and thank you, Yumiko, for your support today. As I was saying, we can't do this without people like Yumiko and Maria Cristina, so it's important for me to raise them up and offer thanks. So let's go to gallery view for a minute. And what I want to do is look at the people on your screen. Just pick a face and look at someone on your screen. Maybe pick another face. It's enough to say that we made it through 2020, but we've also had some challenges in 2021. Just look and see who's here. And I believe that each of us are here because we were meant to be here, not because we're better than anybody who didn't, or even that we have a privilege that anybody didn't, but that we're meant to be here and we have the tools to navigate whatever is present and whatever is coming. And just, this is just the beginning. Just choose another person. Just take a look at them and see if you can send some love. And I'm going to ask for today in this moment, we're in, we're in our 12th, 13th month of almost of COVID. And there have been lots of communities attacked, and the Asian community was one of the first ones. And so if you can receive, please do, and you can close your eyes if you can't. But I'm asking everybody to send some love to a few of the Asian community people on the screen. Let them know that you see them. Maybe choose someone else and just send some love and compassion. I'm already crying. And now maybe choosing someone else. Everybody here is experiencing some level of suffering personally or within their community. And as we move towards our meditation, I want to encourage you to consider yourself and come back to you. Sending some love to yourself. So if you're ready, we'll go into meditation now. If you're ready, you might close your eyes. and just notice what's there. I'll be silent and see if you could just notice what's there. You don't have to do anything about it. And now, after noticing, if it's possible, sending that place kind attention. And if that place is too hard to be with, feel free to shift to a place where there's more ease. While our practice encourages awareness, it's also a kindness practice. It's a self-kindness practice. The ability to be with what is might at times mean focusing on what feels good or what's easier. We don't always have to lay ourselves over the pain. And if you're comfortable, we'll do four full breaths together, and you're willing to continue breathing this way. And I'll guide. You're welcome. I'm going to have one hand on my belly, and I have one hand on my heart or the heart center. And as I'm breathing in, I'm allowing my belly to expand. And again, this is only what's available to your body. So allowing my belly to expand. If you only fill to your throat, that's enough. Just being gentle with yourself wherever you are. So I breathe in full, whatever that is for me. I'm going to hold just a short time at the top, but that might be too long for you. So you release when you're ready. As I release, I'm pulling my belly in and really pushing out, letting go. So we'll do that four times, breathing in and filling and hold. Release, letting go, letting go, letting go, letting go. Breathing in and hold. And release. Letting go, letting go, making noise if you need, letting go, filling in, and release, one more time, breathing in, release, in the next two breaths, we'll do two more. And I'm going to ask you to om at your exhale, just awakening the heart center. It also soothes the heart center. So we'll breathe in. Om. If you're going longer, that's fine. If you went shorter, just keep going one more time. Breathing in. Oh. On your next exhale, I invite you to release your body to the earth. You might imagine something smooth and soft coming down from the sky, any temperature that you like, releasing any tension in your scalp, forehead, releasing the tiny muscles in your eyes and nostrils, relaxing your jaw, lips, and mouth. We inhale and elongate the neck. And as we release, allowing it also to be at ease as we drop our shoulders and upper back. Releasing our arms, we allow our elbows to fall to the ground and just noticing the sensations in our hands, what they're touching, the temperature, all with kindness, meeting numbness with kindness, whatever's there. Breathing in, if it's available to you, you can open your heart center. Breathing out, releasing the belly. Exhaling, releasing again the upper back and the lower back, allowing our bodies to fall into our seat or if we're lying down. Releasing any tension in our hips and pelvis area as available. And for our legs, sometimes it helps. You can squeeze your thighs or squeeze your legs. Release the tension there. Let it fall. Sharing some love with your knees. Releasing your shin and calves. More love to these amazing ankles of ours. Whatever is available for you. Releasing our heels and our feet. Feeling free, you can wiggle your toes and notice the sensations or lack of sensation there with kindness. Every time you wander and come back, you wake up. So we practice being kind to ourselves when we wake up and come back. For those of you who may be new, you might focus on your breath coming in and out, wherever you feel it most intently. For those of you uncomfortable with your breath, it might simply be hearing sound without listening for more. And of course, just noticing the sensations in your body is another way to practice. Whatever keeps you here in this moment. Gently returning to this moment, this breath. And as we near the end of our practice together, understanding there is no good practice or bad practice, there's only practice. You might take a moment to pull up an image of yourself and take a moment to thank yourself for this moment, for these 30 minutes you've been in this community practicing together. The practice of meditation itself is a path towards awakening, healing, freedom, just acknowledging, and perhaps more for you. So just acknowledging that you made it important for you to take this time. And then remembering maybe some people's faces that you saw or names that you saw. Perhaps you didn't see anyone, and just the energy of the people in the space, offering gratitude for the others who make the space possible. The Sangha or spiritual community that helps to deepen our practice. We may offer gratitude for the people who help create this space, the people of color, folks. Diane is one of them, and Maria Cristina is with us, and Emiko is with us, and others even who've come along and just made this space possible, a reality. Offering some gratitude. As you inhale, you might consider that there are millions of people of color around the world, in different places and different ways, engaged in practices of healing, awakening, loving, and sending some energy out to them, and also see what's here for you. The nuns and monks chanting, and we'll begin to come back. And if you have it in you, you might take this moment, because we can do it as often as we like. We might wish all beings, we might wish your communities, we might wish your people, whatever you're feeling in this moment, may they also benefit from these moments of practice that we've just engaged in. And thank you for your practice. I'm still adjusting to this phone thing. Thank you for your kind attention. And I'm going to request that we take a break. We'll take, I think, a 10-minute break. And if you can stand, please do get up and move around for a moment. We won't all be able to do that forever, right? And if you can't stand, that's okay too. Looking away from the screen, might even turn your head from side to side, giving your eyes a break. And I'll set a timer. We'll be back in just 10 minutes. So totally feeling discombobulated, but you know what I know about is love. So I want to talk about that. Let's see if we can get a good setup here. Not everything's, you know, technology doesn't always work with us. So we're just going to manage that. And I'm going to hold my phone while I talk to you. I wanted to, so coming back to the topic that came to me, which was the question of the gateway to freedom. And one of the stories that came up that you may have heard that I'll share as an example of love is the story of a mother who's a mother who is in the courtroom with the young man who killed her son. And at the end of the court case, the young man is sentenced, and the mother whispers towards the young man, "I'm going to kill you." And again, you may have heard this before. He goes into prison, and she begins visiting him and hearing his story, which parents abandoned this person, some of the struggles that they were having out on the street. And she continues to come for the few years that he's in there because he's that young. He's a juvenile. And so he's not, you know, he's not in there for life. The times are different now, but he was there for a shorter period of time. And when it came time for him to come out, when she was visiting, she started bringing food and hearing more of his story. And when it was time for him to come out, she invited him to come home. And she brings him home, and they, of course, have arrangements, school, chores, whatever it is that the arrangements were. And after about a year or two, before he reaches the age of 18, she, you know, turns to him and says, "I don't have anybody else. My son is gone. You don't have anybody else. And I'd like to adopt you." And of course, the young man is like, he's been grateful all along, but he says, I thought you were going to kill me. You told me you were going to kill me, and now you want to adopt me. I don't understand." And she explains that, I killed the person who was you, and that I am you now. And I'm sorry. And that's not who you are now. And as all tales where we don't know all the facts go, they live happily ever after. The point of the story being that there's a way that forgiveness shows up as love. There's a way that compassion shows up as love, and that she was loving him the whole time. And she was never actually angry to an extent of really wanting to kill this person, but in fact, to help this person heal from the person who he was that killed his son. I said earlier that I've been bringing to some of the, I do diversity trainings within corporations and schools everywhere. And I've been bringing in the four agreements as part of my work around dismantling microaggressions. And I believe that the four agreements, the idea that we don't take anything personally, that we are impeccable with our word, of course, I'm going to forget them all right now, that we forget them all. I can see them in my mind. Be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. Who's going to help me out? Somebody knows the rest of them. I'm having a nervous moment. You can write it in the chat if you want, or I'll have to look them up. Why am I losing it? I've been working with it all week. I'll look it up. Maybe those are the two. I'm going to be doing a workshop, and those are the two I'm working on next. So here we go. So be impeccable with your words. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions, and always doing our best. Of course, the part about always doing our best also has to be something that we shroud in compassion. Otherwise, we'll continue to judge ourselves. And this idea of always doing our best is something that I've been talking about this year. And the other thing that comes to mind with me around that is this idea of cancel culture, which emulates the colonialism in itself, the way it doesn't allow for mistakes. But this idea that we're all doing the best that we can based on how much homework we did, but also the how much trauma healing we've done, how much trauma healing we've received, how much trauma healing we've done for ourselves. So that there are some who have done no healing, no acknowledgement of harms that they've experienced. And they're just like, you know, they're like trauma beings. They're, you know, they're like, there's always arrows, darts coming out of them towards everyone. There's those of us who have done some work, and so we're still continuing to cause harm. And then those are some who've done lots of work and still continuing to cause harm, but that it's a little bit less. I bring in the four agreements because I believe that when we are impeccable with our words, when we're really aware, and growing up in a very sarcastic family and growing up in New York with a lot of arrogance, it's taken me a lot of work to be vulnerable and kind in a more consistent way. So being impeccable with my word supports me in showing up for myself, but also others in trusting me, which can create a bond and opportunity for love there. And then this idea of not taking things personally. Very simply, when I'm working with different populations, I might talk about you going into a cafe and the person slams your coffee down, or they don't look at you. And many of us can take that like, you know, what did I do? And we get our feelings hurt, but we don't realize, even though we might know this from our own different experiences, that that person has a child at home that they can't call because the manager won't let them. The person just got screamed at. I've watched employees get screamed. I've been an employee who's been screamed at in front of customers in my past. So we don't take things personally because they don't know us, right? It's not about us. And then even those who do know us are still operating from our own experiences. And that can be a challenging, that's a whole talk in itself about not taking things personally, even though we're personally experiencing it. But knowing that we're sort of receiving this other person's experience that might cause us harm. And then I talked about always doing your best. Hold on, because I did pull them up so I could look at them. It's weird having both systems. Don't make assumptions. We all know what that means. Not making assumptions leaves an opportunity for us to open and love each other. And it's so important, I think, particularly for people of color, where we might determine by the way that we look how we also view the world. We might forget about the different experiences that we all have, that we've all had. Let's see what else I want to add. I miss seeing all your faces. I'm going to look around and see. Oh, look at you. Yeah, there you are. Oh my God, look at all those beautiful faces. Some of you, anybody who knows me, a few years ago, I committed to being love. And when I am talking, sometimes I do talks with in Christian places, and I talk about what it's like to be Jesus or be Buddha or be Mary, whoever you aspire, whoever inspires you, whoever wakes you up, whoever you go to healing for. I feel like we're supposed to be them and not worship them. The idea of, I can't imagine someone like Jesus, for example, or Buddha, was really clear about it, right? That we're not there to worship who they are and what they did, but actually Buddha really directly said, these are my teachings, try them on. Try them on and see if they work for you, so that we're being this person, so that we're actually emulating that. So for me, I committed to being love. And that means that loving everyone without exception. And doesn't mean that I like everybody. It doesn't mean that I approve of everybody. But I know in the core of me, if I'm really honest, the core of me loves everyone. So that it doesn't matter who you are. If you fall over, I will likely see if there's anything I can do to assist. If I'm witnessing you dying, that I can send compassion in that, whether I like you or not. And I learned that a few years back. I learned this actually when I was a child. My dad was an alcoholic, and when I tried really hard to get through to him and talk to him, connected to him, and at some point I realized that I loved him, I just didn't like him. And there was a freedom and some space there, because I was less trying to control his experience. That's another act of love, another act of expression of love. I'm just going to talk for a couple more seconds, and then I really want to get you all talking together. I feel that love is a gateway or pathway to freedom. And that's partly because it's almost, it's partly because if you can love, and love openly, there's a way that you receive it everywhere. So like I said, I'm in a hotel room, again, sorry for the weird tech. So me in nature, so me being in nature, I feel I can receive more because I'm not just loving particular people for particular reasons or particular things for particular reasons, but in nature, I can receive love more. In my community, I can receive love more. I was recently talked to someone whose spirituality has shifted so that they're feeling like they're more connected to spirit, and they're having a hard time sharing with people about it. People aren't getting it. And of course, if you haven't had that experience, you're not going to get it. And so what I shared with them is that what we open to, that more of it will come. And maybe some of you've had that experience. I have a background of certainly when I was younger, and it got less and less as the years came forward, where I only dated women who were going to cause me harm, because that's what I expected. And that's, I kind of had this inner needing to get beat up thing. And as I opened to more care and loving and wanting to be in good experiences, those good experiences just keep opening. There's this way that we love ourselves and we deny it at the same time. And that, I believe, is totally constructed. So we get up, most of us brush our teeth, we clean our bodies, many of us move our bodies, all of us feed our bodies. So there's this way that we love ourselves enough to continue, even when we're like struggling in that place. And those struggles so much come from what someone else says we're supposed to be like, look like, act like, what we're supposed to receive. We get all these messages. And so in my committing to being love, I get to turn those voices off. And then, of course, make myself available to receive more love from people who are ready to be in love and in loving practice. I feel like mindfulness is one of the tools that helps us to open and practice this loving experience. So when we started, I said, every time you wander, that you're actually waking up, and it is. It's an awakening. It's a period of coming out of the illusion, the fantasy, the not being present. We come back and we do that. We practice compassion when we get lost and come back. It's also not just building a compassion practice, not just building the mindfulness practice, but it's building a love practice. So I'm going to stop now, and we're going to do some small groups for anyone who's interested. Hopefully that wasn't too, that might've been like all over the place, and it's okay. I'm having to be kind with myself because my setup has thrown me off. if you're comfortable getting into groups of threes, we're going to set you up in groups of threes for a few minutes. If you're not comfortable, you can stay in the center. If you're, and just stay with us. If you get in a room that you're not comfortable with, you can come out of that room as well, and come be in the center with us. Otherwise, we're going to set you up in groups of threes. Oh, thank you, Amiko, for putting the four agreements in there. I couldn't see the chat. Otherwise, we're going to get you in groups of threes. And the question is simply, and I'll write it in the chat. The question is simply, or maybe Amiko can write in the chat. The question is simply, what's available? What might be available for you? I can't write in the chat. What might be available to you if you chose to be love? Our time is really close, and I just wanted to name as well that in the next few days we're having is a holiday, and it's called TDOV, or Transgender Day of Visibility. And because of colonization, one of the things that we haven't done as people of color is recognize our trans siblings from every ethnic background. They're there. They've been performers and healers and teachers. And part of the colonizer's job is to wipe out the strengths of who we are, the beauty of who we are, the queerness of who we are, the way that we show up as cis straight people, like all of that. So some of our work in loving ourselves is just to notice who we might be excluding in our compassion practice, for example, who we might not be seeing. And this includes right at this time that even as my trans women of color friends have always experienced harm, like our global community, we don't always see the experience that our Asian trans women experience. We might not even think of them. We might not even consider that they're part of the community because we may not see them. And just to know that they are there. All right, I'm going to have to end now, and thank you all for your participation, and encourage you to stay engaged with this question. And when possible, connect with others in your communities. Have this question with your friends and your family. What's possible if we choose to be love? What's available to us? Thank you. Amiko, can I just do the merit? Are there any announcements you need to make about next week or?
No, please feel free, love. Thank you.
All right. So thank you. I'm so glad that many of you stayed and you benefited from this experience. I definitely have been a little off this morning, and so my compassion practice says this is the way it's supposed to be. And I'm certainly here, grateful to see all your faces and be here with you. So we'll close our eyes for a moment and take a full breath, whatever that is for your body. And I want to say that everything that you said or didn't say is absolutely perfect. So no woulda, coulda, shoulda. We have no idea how what we shared impact the other people who heard us. So be in a loving space around that as well. So we'll dedicate the merit of our practice to all people of color. Let's just begin with all people of color everywhere, all seen and unseen, our disabled, our queer communities, our lovingly beautiful seniors, our beautiful children that are coming in, and all of us in between. Sharing with all beings, may we be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May we be protected from harm. May we be peace and live with ease. May we experience love, accept love, know we are loved. May we be loved. May we all be free.